Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 20th, 2020. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, you can call me, but text me first, 316-619-4886. I get so many robocalls, you might not get answered unless you text me first. You can always find updates with the breaking news all about the Wichita Mission Church, everything you need to know about the ministry at prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, YouTube, podcast also on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. And let's thank our listener bases, places like the city of Zagreb, Croatia, Rawalpindi, Pakistan, Alger, Algeria, and, of course, cities in the United States such as Seattle, Washington, Omaha, Nebraska, Lexington, Kentucky. This week, Fort Worth, Texas is the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they podcast later on tonight. Also, follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now, Perm will bring on tonight's guest, one of your favorites. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio goes according to your will and not our will, Father, and give everybody out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. In your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program. Amen and amen. Well, tonight we got back with us Carl Gallups. He was supposed to be on last week, kind of got wires crossed, but he's here with us tonight. He's a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987, talk radio host. He's heard nationally, internationally. He's on TV and radio guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. He's the founder of P.P. Simmons News Ministry Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl's written 10 books now, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah, and Gods of the Final King. And his newest is Max Great, but I'm pretty sure he's working on another one. So welcome, Pastor Carl. You're there with me.
Pastor Dan, yes, man. Hey, every time I get the call to be on your show, I'm sitting on pins and needles, brother. I love it.
Well, I love having you on. We've been talking on radio for many years, which is really different because, you know, we're having a history of going through a lot of events. A lot of things that we talked about ahead of time, ended up coming true, very, very true.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, but I was snooping at your website yesterday at carlgallups.com to see what kind of things you were talking about right now. Yeah. And I got to the one about the mask, which, by the way, I chuckled at it because, you know, your new book is called Mask Parade.
Yeah.
That made me chuckle. But I'd really love it if you'd tell the folks about all the honesty that you gave on your program about masks. I mean, they need to hear it. With this election in the way that it is and everything, They need to hear. I do really believe they need to hear what you have to say about it all. And you really did a good job.
Oh, you're so kind. I appreciate it. Well, I would urge them to go there and listen to the whole thing as I recorded it that day. I'm just going to do it off the top of my head right now. I mean, it's not anything I have to memorize because I believe this. I live this. But I would be honored to do that. Thank you. And thanks for going to my website. Well, no, Pastor Dan, look, I just wanted people to know the balanced scientific spiritual aspect of this whole thing. You know, so I the COVID virus is of the coronavirus family. It's been around forever. This is a new strain. It certainly was pretty devastating upon certain demographics of our people, especially elderly people or anybody with underlying conditions. See, there are young people with AIDS. There are young people with hepatitis C. There are young people with obesity problems, overweight, or on medication or on chemotherapy that damages their immune system. So anybody with a damaged immune system, regardless of age, plus elderly people whose immune systems are already weakened, and then most of them either have cancer or heart problems or diabetes. So this was the demographic, and we knew from the beginning. That's what we should have done. We should have circled the wagons around those precious people, did all that we could do logically to protect them, and not shut down our economy, which actually hurt people. It actually killed people for us to do that. So then along came these draconian mask regulations that became a symbol of virtue signaling. In other words, if you've got on a mask, you can be at the cool kids table. If you've got on a mask, you're hashtag woke. If you don't, you're mean, you're cruel, you're a bigot, you're an idiot, you're a science denier. I mean, it just divided the country. Not over race this time, but whether or not we had a rag on our face. So what I did, I just tried to bring some balance to it, and I just told the folks, I said, look, I was a cop for 10, almost 11 years. There were times I wore masks as a cop. I mean, I don't want to get too gross over the this program, but so I'll just say, listen, I've investigated deaths. I've investigated and handled dead bodies and mangled bodies and nasty, nasty scenes of train wrecks and car wrecks and houses burned and murder victims left in a home for a week or two, if you can imagine what that was like. I've worn masks for my health, for many, many other reasons. Now, as a pastor for 35 years, I've worn masks. I've done more than that. I've basically put on hazmat suits to go into isolation wards to minister to people who have all kinds of hideous diseases, some that aren't so hideous but yet highly infectious, like MRSA, for example. I've had to suit up, put on gloves, scrub up, put on a gown, put on a mask, you know, and then come back out, put it all in a biohazard disposal, then wash up again. And I've done that, and I will do that to minister to people. I think of the early church. I've got in my new book coming out, and you're right, I do have a new book coming out. I always do, brother. But we can talk about that later. But and by the way, if you would allow me, I'd love to tell the God story behind Masquerade, the book that's out there now. You kind of jokingly referred to it with the mask on the front.
We can talk about Masquerade some more, and I do want you to mention the book, but go on with this.
So the point is, I'm not opposed to masks. I'm not a science denier. I get it. And where there are laws to wear a mask, you know, now it's just become this virtue signaling thing. And there's a catch-22 to the whole thing I'll explain to your audience. But the bottom line is, I tell people, look, I am not opposed to wearing masks. I wear them all the time. I've been wearing them for 40-something years, off and on, when need be. If you, Brother Dan, are in the hospital and you are sick as a dog, maybe even on your deathbed, and you want me to come visit you, And if it requires me to wear a mask to go see you, of course I will. Of course I will. I've worn masks going into nursing homes, etc. But what I object to is this virtue signaling hashtag woke, idiocy where people just look down their noses at you and try to dress you down in public and chastise you because you don't have on a mask, even in places where there is no law or there are no regulations that demand that I wear one. It's just they think you ought to wear one and people get in your face. I mean, that is ridiculous. That is stupid. It is absolutely insane. We're living, our whole nation, actually our whole world is living under a spirit of fear, which is demonic. And so I am not saying never, ever, ever even consider wearing a mask. There are people in my church that I tell them, please, you really should wear a mask. You're 85 years old. You've got these various conditions. You probably shouldn't even come. Now it's really lightened up and a lot of people are coming. But back during months ago, because we never closed our church doors, back when the disease was still right, pretty thick, I told them, I said, you just watch us, just watch the worship on live stream. Now, we treat adults like adults at our church. So I didn't order people to stay home and I didn't order anybody to come to church. We're not some cult, but I just told the adults, you do whatever you wish. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to, don't. If you want to social distance, do. If you don't want to, that's fine. But please respect the wishes of others around you that may not see it the way you do. And just do what you got to do. And I told our folks, look, if you got a fever, if you're sick, if you have underlying conditions, if you're extremely elderly and kind of sickly, please, please take care of yourself. Stay home. We will minister to you. I will come to your house if you want me to. I will wear masks and a hazmat suit if you want me to. You're not going to be forgotten about in our church. You have nothing to fear. And so I keep trying to tell Christians, look, do this with reasonableness, balance, and prayer. I tell my own father. My own father is 85. He has a couple of underlying conditions. He is now a widower. He goes out and shops by himself, goes to Walmart and the grocery stores. And I told him, I said, Dad, you really should wear a mask. And I said, it probably wouldn't hurt you to wear gloves, too, while you're in the store. I said, but make sure you take all that off and throw it away. Don't wear the same gloves and the same mask because they're filthy after a while. But you should. So he agreed, and so he does. I encouraged my dad to do that. So, again, I'm not a science denier. I'm not a rebel saying nobody should ever wear a mask. But the point is, I'm telling God's people, I go in these stores and I see little children, their parents have forced them. They've put masks on their little kids and the parents are all masked out, the whole family, and they're parading around in public like they are now bulletproof because everybody has on a mask, so nothing's going to happen. Well, a mask doesn't protect you necessarily from getting COVID. It's more for you to so-called protect people around you. But listen, Dan, let's just face it. You and I are adults. I am not responsible 24/7 to protect Dan Catlin, even though I love you. And you're not responsible to protect Carl Gallops. We're adults. If I know you're sick or think you're sick, then I'm just going to stay a little bit away from you and love on you and talk to you. And so I'm just telling in that video, I just said, use your head, folks. Quit giving in to the spirit of fear. Quit doing this stupid stuff. People will put on a mask and they'll wear the same nasty mask for days.
Yeah.
Or you'll see them take it and drop it down around their neck when they don't want to wear it. Then they'll put it back on. Well, your neck has been gathering bacteria all day long. Then you put it up in your face and breathe it. One of the congressmen in a hearing, I've got a picture of it. I put it on Facebook. He took his mask and shoved it up to his forehead and thought he was looking cool, you know. And then a little bit later, he dropped it back down, put it on his face. And doctors have said when you do that with your masks, you might as well be wearing your dirty underwear. Now, that's been in print, brother. That's been in mainstream media. And I've put it on Facebook. And what that means, you know, we're repulsed at the idea of putting on our dirty underwear on our mouth and face and nose. But it's the same kind of filth, the same bacteria, you know.
It might have come from a different place, but it's bacteria and viruses are bacteria and viruses. So that's what the video is about, and I just encouraged our people, please, if you need to wear a mask, want to wear a mask, do, but do it correctly. If you don't, then don't give in to the fear. Does that make sense, Pastor Dan?
Makes a lot of sense, and I do really wish, folks, you go to CarlGallops.com and not only listen to that one, but there's some really good sermons over there that you give and other things, because, you know, there are a lot of people that are needing that right now and just aren't getting it one way or another. But, yeah, I do encourage that. And, by the way, I do share your, like now I was sitting here, I shared your Facebook page, you know, over to mine, because you have some really things. Let me talk just for a minute.
Yeah.
Folks, here's the reason. I love Carl and I love his books and all his things and all the ministering he does, but here's the point why we make a point to have Pastor Carl on, is he is a pastor. You're here. He's one of the most honest pastors I've ever heard. He does, Carl, you said you wasn't a rebel. I kind of laughed at that because
well,
you're kind of a rebel as to what a lot of mainstream ministers are, and I try to hold you up as an example to those if you can find a pastor like Carl, great, that's what you should do, because you're not afraid to talk about things, no matter what. And the problem that we have with so many churches nowadays, I believe, is the fact that they're politically correct. And Carl, you just don't sound like a politically correct guy. Back to you.
Yeah. Well, you're so kind. Listen, first of all glory to Yeshua for that, for whatever wisdom or courage or stupidity he gives me and uses. I don't know. but a lot of that, too, I mean, God developed in my life and all those years in law enforcement and some of it doing criminal investigations and dealing with people that hated me and wanted to kill me, literally threaten me, and I just got to where I realized as long as I'm doing right, and as long as I look myself in the mirror, I really don't care what anybody thinks about my criminal investigation, about the arrest I made, or the scripture I'm preaching, or the views that I take. I know, and I know you may not agree with every view I have, but one thing you'd have to admit, Pastor Dan, is I try to be fair about it. I give both sides or all three sides, and I tell people what I believe and why I believe it. And so I just... the greatest compliment I can get is what you just said. I'm honest, and I try to be balanced in all of it, and that does. In these days, it makes you and me a rebel. You're the same way, brother. You're exactly the same way. You have a different personality, but we're very similar like this, and I appreciate the kind words you said.
Yeah, amen. And there's that. You speak the truth according to how you know it, and you're still open about it. And, you know, that's with honesty. If a person shuts themselves off to other opinions and learning, then there's a problem, of course. But we need it right now. We need men of God to stand up, and I'm hoping, and I'm always hoping and praying, well, of course, and I appreciate what you said about me, and yeah, I am that way. Let your chips fall where they may. I will say what I feel that I need to say, and I'm going to say it one way or another. But we need to set examples, and, you know, I'm praying that more people of Yahweh, of God, whatever, will do that, and they need to in this time, because I believe that we've gotten to the place that we're at now in the American society because the church has been quiet too long or tried to be politically correct. Back to you.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I deal with a lot of that in my upcoming book. So I pray it's a blessing to folks. I can't wait for it to get out there. My wife does the first run editing. She's a brilliant woman and a tremendous editor. In fact, all of the professional editors always brag on her, and they say, oh, my gosh, man, your manuscript is so clean. There's very little work, relatively speaking, that we have to do. And so I'm proud of my wife in that respect. But, you know, she only knew the title of my upcoming book that the publisher had settled on, and she knew the main theme. That's all. She had no idea where I was going, no idea what the content was. I gave her the book, and she started editing it. 3 days later, she came in. She sat down. She said, can I talk to you a moment? I said, yeah. She said, I need to talk to you about your new book. And I said, okay. you don't want to hear your wife say that. You know,
yeah.
I mean, And she said, this is what she said now. She said, this is the best book I have ever read. And she said, God's going to use this. She said, while I was editing it, I had chill bumps on my arm several times. She said, today's church has got to read this book. She said, I really believe the Lord's going to use it. I said, well, baby, I appreciate you telling me. I thought you were going to tell me it stunk. And she said, oh, no. She said, I've read all 11 of your books about 25 times each doing editing. And she said, they're good. All of them are good. That's what she said. But then she said, but this one takes the cake. And so, brother, I don't know. That's just anecdotal. I mean, other people that's listening now may get it and read it and say, man, this is horrible. I don't know. But, I mean, I've read it so many times in my writing and editing. I already hate the book, you know. But you know, when you write something, then you are forced to read it 85 times, you know, before long you get sick of it. But I'm excited about it. May I tell the story about the last one, though, that's still out there?
Yeah,
going crazy?
Amen. You got only about a minute before.
Oh, okay. We can do it on the other side, then, if you want.
I'd like to. And I would like to do that, and I want to hear a little more about the book. In fact, you know, that would be great, especially if you could give the name out for new book.
And, you know, I don't know if you want to do this or not, and if you don't, just say so, but we can't talk offline, so we're having to do business on air. But if you want to, and if you think your audience would care at all, I would really love, from an expert standpoint, to address Kamala Harris's eligibility in this issue. There's all kinds.
I was going to ask you about that, but I didn't know if you wanted to do a show on that. If you want to, how much have you got for that?
I can talk about it for, you know, 5 minutes or for an hour, but I just think that your audience.
Hey, Carl, look. Here's the deal. You already got two other subjects I want to talk about. I want to know about the other. Can we book you for this time next week?
Oh, yeah. Yes, brother. Just talk to my booker, Pamela.
I'll send it to her during break.
Yeah. Okay, good. And I'm not trying to tell you what to
that's
do.
Fine. I wanted to ask you about that, and the people should know by listening to you, you already have dealt with that issue.
Yes, I have. There's so much fake information. Yeah,
no advertising. Tell them where they can find you. We got to go to break in less than
30 seconds. Okay, CarlGallops.com. CarlGallops.com. Thanks.
All right, folks, we'll be right back.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Only but for a moment, when measured on God's time, we'll be seated together at the table of the Lord to dine. Till my journey on earth is done, and you'll be the second one that I'll see. But first I want to see God's Son. Just a moment and I'll be there. But in the meantime, God's love I'll share. Carry on without you, though the journey may be very hard. But Jesus will be here to help me against the enemy to stay on guard. I'm only in this world just a passing through, with our precious Lord as my guide. And it'll only be just a little while, and I'll see you on the other side. Just a moment.
How many times have we heard it preached from Psalms 111 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Many times from the pulpits of those who teach that the Old Testament scriptures relating to God's commandments do not really apply to believers. A complete examination of the Psalm proves otherwise. It informs us that all His commandments are sure, that they stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness, and that God hath commanded His covenant forever. It was Jesus who wrote the Ten Commandments in stone, and who said that until heaven and earth pass away, not even the slightest thing would pass from the law. In fact, if any of those commandments could have been changed, He would not have had to die. Because they could not, He laid down His life to pay the death penalty required for our past transgressions, and sends us the Holy Spirit of promise, the earnest of our inheritance, so that we might have minds subject to the laws of God. In addition, Scripture reveals that the vast majority of times the term fear the Lord is used, it is directly associated with keeping His commandments and thereby doing His will. Yes, the fear of the Lord is truly the beginning of wisdom. But why is it that most who quote the Scripture stop in the middle of the verse? A full reading may provide the answer. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network, and I sure hope I got my volume right, but we're talking with Pastor Carl Gallups, and we'll get right back to him in a minute. I just want to point out, folks, that we are still out there taking care of the people amongst the COVID and everything. This week we fed, it was 67 people that showed up that needed help with food and such. We need you to pray about Fort Wichita Mission Church. A lot of people are, but we still need more help in this trying time. We could use large print King James Version Bibles. And if you got any extra prophecy books or anything like that or such, send them to us. We'll get them to the people, of course. Pray. Anyway, you can donate online, mail a check or money order, donation over the phone, all those normal things. ProphecyHour.com, and now we're back with Pastor Carl. Are you still there, Carl?
Oh, I'm here, brother. I wouldn't leave.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping you wouldn't. I just sent, about time the music come on, I just got through sending an email over to get you booked next week. Because that's fascinating. I was really saying, man, I ought to ask Carl about Camilla Harris, but I didn't know whether or not you wanted to talk about it or didn't, but sure. I kind of figured you would, but.
Sure.
Now I can't wait for next week.
Good. Yeah, there's just a lot of misinformation out there. The media's trying to cover it up, and I'd love to set it straight.
Let's do that. Let's do it. We'll do it next week. I sent the email off, hopefully it'll get booked. They'll let me know real quick.
Okay.
I'm sure.
Good.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So before we left for break, there's two things we want to talk about. I want you to talk about the current book, Masquerade, which, by the way, I really love that book. Especially at the end, you even give some a solution if you're having problems. But having said that, but then before you get out of here, I want to hear the name of the other book. And so, amen.
Yeah.
Back to you.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm not allowed to give the name of the new book yet. But as soon, just like I do with you every time, as soon as I am allowed to by the publisher, I will come to your show and give the name and a review of kind of where it's headed. And then after it comes out, I'd be glad to come on, especially after you've read it. We can tear it apart and have a good time with it like we always do. But the reason is, brother, and I'm not being coy about it. You know this, and you and I've talked about it before, that the titles, you know, are important. They need to say something that attracts people to it and says something about the contents. And you have to be kind of creative. I mean, you know, titles have been around for thousands of years, and so it's hard to be creative. So the publisher, and I'm with a major publisher, they own the right. I mean, when you sign a contract, they can make the title anything they want it to be, because then they are responsible, you know, for getting the book stocked and getting it marketed and sold. And so they own the title, and right up to the time it goes to print, they leave it open. I mean, I already know what they want to do, and I love it, and they love it. But literally, right before it goes to print, they could change it. So that's why they don't allow me to say anything.
Yeah, amen. And actually, also, Derek Gilbert pointed that out when he was on my program a couple of weeks ago, but he was excited. He had just got the okay to give out the name when he was on the program. And so, actually, it was a first. So, and I know you're a publisher, and I really have a lot of respect for those folks over there.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. So, you want to tell us what that book's about, or you want to go to the masquerade first?
Oh, yeah. Well, I can only generally tell you that it's going to make sense. Biblical, historical, and some science that's involved in it, but more importantly, biblical and historical sense of where we are right now, what we're going through now, what we've been through, what's coming up around the corner, biblically speaking, how we are to live in the midst of it, what Jesus said about these days, and yes, believe it or not, and you guys are just going to have to wait till you get the book or till I come on to talk about it, he spoke about these days. It's clear. It's in the Word, and the ancient scholars saw it. They just didn't know what day it was all going to happen in, and it's happening. Everything that Jesus spoke about the days we're in. And so I reveal it and I outline it, and I do some studies there that I think have either not been done at all or have been done a very little bit that really gives, let me just put it this way. That's why my wife said what she said when she read it. She's been a student of the Word before I was even saved, and we've known each other since we were 10. Mm-hmm. And, she's a deep biblical scholar. And, of course, you know how I write. I back up everything I say with reference after reference after reference and word studies. But I try to keep it in a fun way to read it. And I'm just going to, I can tell your audience, the first 8 or 9, 10 chapters, and all my chapters are only like 5 pages each. I take you right into the Word. I put you on the shores again. I put you on the shores of the Jordan River. I put you all the way back into the ancient, ancient days in the Old Testament. And you live it. You get to be a part of it and come right on through, right up to the crucifixion, resurrection. And then, boom, after we get through all of that, after you've lived it, then you turn the page and, boom, we're right into where we are today, and light bulbs will just pop on in your head as we go through, as you realize this is exactly what Jesus said. This is exactly what the Bible said, and here we are. Why doesn't the church see this? So that's my review.
Yeah, amen. And one thing about wives, I love having her listen to me, especially when we're in church, because if I can convince her, I can convince anybody.
That's right, brother.
You know. Yeah.
That's right. I'm scared to death for my wife to read my books or to hear me preach, because, you know, our wives know us. Brother, my wife has known me since I was 10, and they know how we think, and they know, you know, us. So she's not a sycophant when it comes to that. She doesn't just gush all over me because she doesn't want to hurt my feelings, and she's kind about it, but she will. She's honest as she can be, and I need that. She's a good woman, and I know your wife's the same way.
Yeah, amen. She really is, and so, and I like that concept, but yeah, okay. Anyway, so Okay, let's move on to Masquerade.
Okay.
Well, so what's the story behind the story? I think that's what you were going to say.
Yeah, I just think your audience might find it interesting. Here's the thing, brother. I wrote that book in the middle of last year. I think I got it to the publishers in August of last year, and then it had to go through the editing process, which is a several-month process of back and forth and back and forth with the manuscript until we all are satisfied that it's pretty good shape for people to read without us being embarrassed by it. And that takes months. And then we go to the cover design and the settling in on the finalization of the title. And then we have meetings about marketing. You know, where are we going to put it and how are we going to do this? How do we get it into most people's hands? And so it takes a long time. So all that was going on last year. You know, I started writing it probably January of 2019. It got finished with it around August, sent it to the publishers. So in the meantime, they came up with the title. We did. We came up with the title. We came up with the cover design. And all of that was done around October, November of last year. Now, they set it for release in the first quarter of 2020. Well, in October, November, we knew nothing about COVID. We knew nothing about these things that were going through, the closing of churches all over the world, the shutting down of Resurrection Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, and being told we couldn't say all lives matter, even though that's what the Bible says from beginning to end. I mean, all this crazy stuff, mask wearing and you know, and virtue signaling and division of people and brothers and sisters reporting each other to the authorities and trashing of pastors and churches by other Christians. I mean, we had no idea all of that was going to come about. You know, the Supreme Court ruling that a casino has more of a right to meet than a church. I mean, all of this stuff. Well, brother, so the publishers back in October of 2019 said, okay, we're going to release this in March. There's certain release dates that publishers like. They like spring and fall especially. And unless you're writing some romance novel, you barely sell anything during the summer. People get those kind of books to read at the beach. But spring and fall, people will buy the kind of books, theology and political books and all this kind of stuff. So they said, we're going to set it for March of 2020. I said, okay. So I just went on with my life. I got plenty of stuff to do, brother. And so the next thing I know, you know, we round 2020 and there's this COVID thing. Well, for January, February, and March, I was still traveling all over the world, brother. I mean, in and out of international airports and on airplanes and preaching prophecy conferences, doing TV and radio. But I'm hearing this stuff, but all my years of traveling, I've been in airports. I've watched people from Asian countries especially come through during SARS and H1N1, and everybody's got on masks and all of that. And so I'm used to seeing all that. Well, I'm starting to see it back in January, February, March in all the airports. And I'm thinking, well, here we go again. And I didn't really know. I said, what is this? What is this going to be? Is it going to be bad? And I did some research, and I realized coronavirus, okay, it's upper respiratory, but apparently this is a mutation. Apparently it's a real killer for older people. And so anyway, I was doing all of that. Well, then March rolls around, boom, my book releases. Well, it happened to release at the same time that Dr. Fauci was panicking and telling everybody to put on masks. Well, the cover of my book is a picture with a man with a mask on his face, and the title of it is Masquerade, and the subtitle of it is Preparing for the Greatest Con Job in History. And so, you know, I knew what I had written, and I was exposing how Satan is going to try to shut the church down. I literally wrote about that. You know it, brother. You read it.
Yeah, amen.
And I talked about the misconception people have of scriptures. That Paul tells us that Satan is going to try to shut the church down. He tells us. And I reveal that in my book. It's in the Bible, but most preachers and teachers don't teach it and preach it that way. They've got a whole other interpretation for it. But when you go into all the scholars, dozens and dozens and dozens of them for hundreds of years saw it as Paul was telling us that Satan's going to try to shut the church. Jesus told us that in his parables. And so I wrote about that. I exposed it. And I even talked about how he would use pandemics. Brother, I wrote this last year. And well, so the book comes out right in the middle, and people are reading it, and they're writing me saying, oh, my gosh, you're a prophet. And I said, no, don't say that. I wasn't trying to
Carl,
be a prophet.
Carl, yeah. That's how your book's that's the amazing thing about you. Let me scoot up here to the mic. That's how your books turn out. And that's a perfect example. You talk about the pandemic in your book. Talk about shutting the church down. Look, if people are so blind they can't see that Satan's doing it after that on Resurrection Sunday, they shut down the churches and
all over the world.
I mean, come on. Back to you.
Yeah. No, you're right. And we've talked about this before on your shows, and I know I'm repeating myself and some of your audience, and I've heard him say this before, but a lot of people don't know that backstory. And to me, it's just amazing. And I mean, I wrote the book. I don't think the book's amazing, but I think it's amazing the way that, you know, God obviously spoke to me or revealed things to me that I didn't even realize. And, and I get that biblical principle because Peter talks about how the real prophets, the prophets of old, how they were writing and they knew, they didn't even know what it meant that they were writing, but they knew they were writing for a future period. Peter talks about that in 1st and 2nd Peter. And he said even the angels longed to look into it. In other words, even the angels sometimes, when the prophets were speaking, that was the Holy Spirit revealing to the prophets, and then even the angels hadn't been given that revelation. So I'm not comparing myself, brother, to angels or the prophets of old. I'm just saying I understand the biblical principle. If God wants to use an idiot like me to speak something to my heart that goes to my hand, that goes to a piece of paper with a pen, that is printed in a book, that happens to release right when it happens, if God wants to use me that way, he can do it. And I'm honored that he would, but I never ever advertised myself as some kind of prophet or anything. I mean, I'm astounded. You know, in fact,
let me butt in.
Okay.
You wrote about it. He gave you that name. And let me add these up just a second. You wrote about it. You gave it a name such as you gave it, having no prior knowledge of all this.
Had no knowledge.
And it happened at, you know, it came out right when it happened, when COVID
That's
happened.
Yeah.
And so the Father gave you a great honor. Most prophets never even get to understand when their future prophecies come true. For that to happen and for you to be allowed to see it happen within your lifetime, that's a great honor, Carl.
Well, thank you.
And I've told you before, you are being used. Let's go back to, you know, we talk about your book, you know, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah. That book is one of the greatest books that you wrote. I mean, they're all great. But the things that were revealed in that needed to be at the time. Now, there's a lot of other people that could have wrote that book, but I honestly believe that any other books that would have been put out about the Rabbi Who Found Messiah were stopped because it was intended prophetically for you to give it out and for Zeb to be with you on that. It worked out perfectly. If there's a such thing, perfect, that's on earth. Back to you.
You know, brother, that's too wonderful to even behold or to think about. It reminds me of Psalm 139. Who can know the mind of God? His thoughts are like the grains of sand. What you just said is true in that that's how it happened. And even with the rabbi book, listen, you don't know this. I'm going to tell you. I was on the phone with Zev today for an hour from Tel Aviv. We were discussing some other projects and some ministries we're doing, and we were praying together about some things. And then he brought it up, and then I expounded upon it. And I'm not going to bore your audience with every jot and tittle of the conversation, but here's the crux of it. We were both just overwhelmed with awe as we were recounting. We're sitting there talking about all these things we got to do, and it dawned on both of us at about the same time while we were talking that we take for granted that we're even together, that we even know each other, that we're even doing this ministry. What are the chances that an Orthodox rabbi who speaks Hebrew as his first language, who would later become a Christian, who's born to a rabbinical family, whose family serves in the the government of Netanyahu, and who serves on the rabbinical courts, grew up in a little, almost cultish little rabbinical community, B'nai Barak. Then what are the chances that he would hook up with a country boy from the South, Bible Belt, an American, Germanic descent, Baptist preacher, writing about a strictly Jewish thing? I mean, and who would know? And then the fact that we would even come in contact with each other, and then the fact that we would even like each other, and then the fact that we would even begin to talk to each other, and then we would start doing ministry together, and then he travels to the U.S., and I travel to Israel, and now we're writing, we wrote a book together, and we're doing more ministry, we're getting ready to write another book together. I mean, how does this happen? It's impossible, humanly speaking, just like the book Masquerade I was talking about. I mean, it's just, right. All that's impossible, but yet, there it is. So, I mean, you're right, brother. God's hand is all over it, and I'm very aware of it after it's over with. I am honored that God would use me for any of this, and you're a part of it too, brother. You do all this bringing us on, and we talk about it and expound upon it and media exposure, and you're a part of all of this too, brother. It's absolutely astounding. I'm just overwhelmed by it. Thanks for letting me talk about it.
Amen. That's divine providence. It couldn't have happened. The various things that came together for that those are two astounding books about the rabbi who found Messiah. I guess you could say it in about 5 minutes about what the rabbi is, but it's all of the other things, like you said, that came together, you and Zeb, and how you met, and how you liked each other, and how it went on, and the things that he's did from that, and you did from that. But that should have gave you greater confidence to move on and write more.
Yeah.
The Father's using your hands and your brain to put this out, and you're reaching a very large audience. And so now, that, again, back to the Masquerade book, it is... I wished everybody would get it because it explains what's going on. But I like in the end what you did. You put in there as a way, well, okay, maybe I'm under the influence of these things, or I know somebody that is, a way to get out. That's
yes.
not seen in many books. Address that a minute.
Brother, I did that in this book I'm writing now. It's a kind of a different tact of what I'm dealing with, but in the end of it, I put an addendum section of five more chapters, five pages each, telling people, and here's what you can do. Here's how you live this. Here's how you make this happen in your life. So that's a new style of writing for me, to have these addendums practical, and people all over the world reacted like you just did to Masquerade on that. They said, thank you. Not only did you teach us what the Bible says, not only did you kind of prophesy to us, but at the end of it you said, and here's how to come out of some of these lies. Here's how to deal with it in your own life. Here's how to be delivered. And so I do something very similar to this new book. But you know, brother, when I was writing Masquerade, the other thing I was going to tell you, I don't know if I've ever said this over the air before, but brother, I was under demonic attack. I mean, I went through depression, and I'm not given to depression. I'm not on depression medication or nothing, but brother, is just, I started doubting myself. I was writing words that didn't make sense, but now they've proven to be prophetic.
Right.
And I was writing paragraphs and chapters. I mean, I knew what I was writing. I'm not saying it was just magically coming on the paper like some Ouija board. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I would start writing, and I would research, and I would collect information, and then I would say, I don't need to say that. Why am I saying this? No, this is not, this doesn't even make sense in this book. And then I would just quit writing, and I would tell my wife, I said, I'm not even going to finish this. I'm not going to, and she would say, well, baby, whatever God's leading you, but you know you're under demonic attack. And then, it's like every other day, something stupid was happening in and around our lives with the church. I mean, nothing bad, but just somebody attacking me in public or in the media or maybe even in the community for some biblical stand I took. And then I'd get a little discouraged. I'd keep going, but, I'm not trying to say I'm a big crybaby, whiny baby. I'm really not, but it just was a relentless demonic attack. Well, when I finally finished, and again, when you write, you know, I read the book, without exaggerating, probably 30 times through before I had given it to my publisher. And you really do. You really do. It just, it, you get to where I know what I'm already going to say, and so it just doesn't mean as much to me anymore. And that gets discouraging when I'm already under attack. So when I turned the book in, brother, I was ready to wash my hands of it, really. And then, now it's come alive, and it's prophetic, and I'm getting all these interviews. I'm talking about the guts of it, and people's lives are being changed, and people are being saved. And then my wife said, "I told you, Satan didn't want that book out there." She said,
right.
"Don't you see it now?" I said, "I do, but man, to live through that hell of trying to get it done is just unspeakable." And she said, "I know, but you did the right thing, and look how God is using it." Okay, now, I said all that to say this. So when I finished that, I took a few months of breather, and then I started working on the book I'm on now, and I'm turning it in next week. Brother, it's been a repeat. It has been all hell has come against me continually, and discouraged and depression. I would write several chapters and I'd go back through and say, "Oh, this is crazy. This doesn't make any sense." And then the world just kept unfolding and unfolding. And even while I'm writing, I'm thinking to myself, "Wow, I wrote this a few weeks ago, but it's actually happening right now." And then when I handed it all to my wife, I already told you and your audience what she said. She said, "This is the best book you've ever written. This is going to change people's lives. It's going to change churches." And so, but I said all that to say this. I'm experiencing this demonic resistance to what you're doing, to what I'm doing, to what Zev is doing, to what men and women like us are doing. We're on the front lines. A lot of your audience is with us in this. They're on the front lines speaking the truth, living the truth, and we're living in the days of Noah, if you will, brother. And we're in Babylon. We're in Sodom and Gomorrah, and all hell is coming against us. And so I know you can relate to that, and your audience can too. So forgive me for talking about myself, but I just wanted to give my testimony.
That's all right, Carl. Just a couple of things, and we've probably got to go. The greater the tribulation, the greater the blessing. That's something to always remember. But, Carl, we're going to get that, and you just said something again that people need to wake up to. We're in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're in the days of Noah. That's here. We're living it right now. And so we need to put our voice out there. And it is hard. It is hard to do the work that we do, because doing that work, the devil doesn't want that to happen. And so here he comes. All right. Tell the folks how they can find you. And I'm sure you're going to be back next week.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'll be there if I can. CarlGallops.com, CarlGallops.com. And when you're there, you can click on the site to our church. And by the way, I want to tell your audience, yes, you can listen to sermons and all that, but go down to near the bottom of the page. It's just one page. You'll see what looks like a file cabinet, and there's just links, but it looks like a little, it's kind of beige, like a file cabinet. Click on those, especially the ones on articles and videos. And I mean, you could be there for months reading and watching stuff. It's a treasure chest of biblical information at CarlGallops.com.
All right. All right, Carl. Well, I got to let you go. Goodbye and shalom. I love you, brother. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.
All right, folks. Pastor Carl Gallops, and hopefully next week he's going to get a comeback, and we're going to talk about Kamala Harris and whether she's eligible or not. And he's the right guy to do it, too. Okay, we must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Folks, I really need you to support the Wichita Mission Church and this radio program. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, you would please, please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. to write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.